Good morning, everyone. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Georgia.
And you're listening to Film Picnic.
We begin, as always, by acknowledging that Film Picnic is recorded on the ancestral lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. This land is referred to as unceded territory, as it was not given up freely, and it continues to be home for the Indigenous communities from which it is stolen.
It is with immense privilege that we talk into these microphones and share our stories, as stories have been shared for generations before us on this land. We hope that Film Picnic can be a space for knowledge sharing, reconciliation, and shared accountability. This always was and always will be Indigenous land.
Today is special.
Why is it special, Georgia?
Today's episode is extra special as we're celebrating our one-year anniversary with a Twilight-themed spectacular, or as we like to call it, a Twilight-iversary.
Woo!
Oh my lord!
I wrote something really cheesy. Can I read it?
Sure.
That's right. We're trading our usual picnic blanket for the misty forests of Forks as we sink our teeth into film discussions while embracing the supernatural ambiance of the Pacific Northwest.
That made me sweat. I'm sweating.
Join us as we reflect on our journey, share industry insights, and indulge in all things Twilight, because sometimes the best film conversations happen in the shadows between werewolves and vampires.
Why is today special, Georgia?
It's also special because we have a very special guest.
We do have a special guest.
A special guest joining us on our checkered blanket. From compelling short films like Easter Epic and A Better Place to his notable role as, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, Holloway? Calvin Holloway in Fake.
Yes.
Yes. Our guest has been crafting a versatile portfolio that spans across many independent projects with performances in thought-provoking shorts like A Boy, and
Period.
Waves, parentheses for Ryan, close parentheses.
For Ryan.
He continues to build a body of work that demonstrates his range and commitment to storytelling.
He's also no stranger to the Film Picnic community.
Ah. This is a crazy
This feels
intro.
Weird for me to read. Having starred in Host Hannah's, in my thesis film, Drinking Licorice at Night, and appeared in Crazy Eights film directed by our friend Shaquille Jessa, who listeners might remember from our Journey to the Writer's Room episode.
Whether he's playing characters like Vanith, Joe, or Danny, he brings authenticity to each role. His journey through the independent film landscape offers valuable insights into navigating multiple creative paths simultaneously.
So grab your favorite snack, settle in, and join us for an inspiring conversation about artistic vision and the realities of indie filmmaking, and what it takes to wear multiple hats in this industry, with the talented Anthony Curtis.
Anthony Curtis.
Thank you so much. Wow. That was very well said. Thank you. Thank you for having me. This is awesome. I can't believe this is like the
oh my God, guys, one
year.
Oh my God. We're all wearing this.
Just a moment.
For the people
are listening and not seeing this as an episode, the three of us are all wearing some kind of Twilight merch.
We
right
did
now.
Instruct Anthony. I texted him last night and I was like, "Can you be here tomorrow at 10 a.m. and also please wear your Twilight shirt?"
I would have brought it any other
I
way.
I wear it under all my
yeah.
But someone's got to change. So excuse me, one moment.
Wait, what's this? Oh my God.
I thought we kind of look the same.
Bella, where the hell have you been, Logan?
Okay.
I actually have my one Twilight shirt, and I raided Willow, my roommate's closet this morning for another
one. Yeah.
Okay, for those listening like who can't see the visual, it's three Jacobs inside a heart,
and it says, "Where the hell have you been, Loka?"
And he's shirtless.
Yeah,
well, a little actually. Bit.
Well, no, he has a collar in one of them.
Well, like, how, like,
no, but the pectorals are
collar
prominent.
Is crazy.
Yeah.
It's kind of rare for Jacob to wear a shirt in the series, to be honest.
Well, you know what? If I was a werewolf, I wouldn't be wasting money on... I would be buying cheap clothing so that when it rips off, it's not a huge... Because what, are you, like, going to buy a nice sweater and then suddenly
so
like,
true,
your wolf comes out and you... Like,
yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
I've really thought this through.
Why are we doing a Twilight episode this episode?
There's an ingrained.
Why not?
Exactly.
Why not?
Anthony is a big fan of Twilight. He got me onto it. He said we have to watch the first one, and then we had to watch the second one.
And then you have to go to Forks.
Yeah. You have to go to Washington. You have to go see the Cullens house.
I'm, like, this is timely for me because I'm just coming off reading the first book.
And why did you read the first
book? I can see it in your eyes that you want me to say this. I'm gonna say I said this to Hannah in the car. I was like, because it's, like, character research for being friends with Hannah. It's like...
Yeah, it's a rite of passage. 100%.
Like, if you want to understand Hannah better, you just need to immerse yourself in the twilight and... And coincidentally, I enjoyed it very much, and it was kind of self-indulgent for me as well, but, yeah, I don't know. I was equating it to, like, when I'm a Brooklyn Nine-Nine fan, mm-hmm. and then I watched Die Hard for the first time, and mm-hmm. I was like, oh my god, now I understand all the references in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and I was mm-hmm. like, this is the same for being Hannah's friend. It's yeah. just reading Twilight, and then... So, you know. This is so chaotic. And then as soon as I had the idea about doing this episode, I was like,
You had the idea, sure.
I got too excited. And I was like, we're going to put a blue filter on it, and we're all going to wear our shirts, and Anthony's going to be there, and it's going to be really fun.
That would be cool. If we can make that happen, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, here we are.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Here we are in the misty blue.
In the blue.
Before we get into, like, deep twilight, yes.
Let's talk to Anthony.
Let's talk to Anthony.
Thank you so much for being here, by the way. Did we say that?
Yeah, no.
We're so happy you're here.
I feel very welcome.
You are welcome.
You watched us deal with technical difficulties for half an hour, so
thank you. No, it's fun. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Got to see a little bit of behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. See teamwork. I see the chaos, yeah. but we
it's
came through.
It's chaos.
100%.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
It is.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna start us off.
Okay.
With a little question about D-Lan.
Oh yeah.
D-Lan. Mm-hmm. Hannah's thesis film.
Yeah.
Just what was the overall experience like? I don't know.
That's a great question, Georgia.
The overall experience for D-Lan. That was so fun. Like, working on that from, like, pretty much all of winter of last year. Mm-hmm. And, I happen to know pretty much everyone involved, like, beforehand. But I got to know y'all in such, like, a, like, closer way. Mm-hmm. And,
How many rehearsals did you guys do?
A few.
Yeah,
probably.
I had the two girly pops cost, like, way before, and so we were rehearsing mm-hmm. with them when we cost Connell and Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rehearsal, we had, like, maybe at least four, like, proper rehearsals, but the rest were just kind of, like, hanging out, I feel like.
Yeah, like, we didn't really, like, go deep into the script or anything, and, like, did full-on scenes, but, like, mainly every time we met up, we just talked about the script mm-hmm. and characters, and it was cool to be there, like, with you while you were, like, working on your several drafts mm-hmm. and seeing how the character changed. Like, yeah. over time.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of, like, collaboration, which was really cool.
Yeah. I'd be sitting there, like, we'd be playing poker or whatever, and mm-hmm. I'm, like, observing the way that they're interacting and talking. I'm like, oh, I like that line. I'm going to write that down.
Did you know how to play? Did you learn how to play poker?
We learned together.
We learned, yeah. We
That's
did.
I need to learn.
It's actually really fun. And I
Gambling?
Someday I'm going to roll a die, and it's going to be really dramatic. You know?
Don't roll Ooh. Dice in poker.
That's like crabs.
So,
but you can't.
So,
we'll
just edit
it
out. It's fine. Someday I'm gonna put the chips down and I'm gonna be like, I'm all in.
Ooh.
And then you're gonna roll a die.
I'm gonna reinvent poker.
You're reinvent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious just about the character. Like, I don't know. I feel like acting is such an interesting. It's so interesting to. Because I got to be BTS on that set, and so it was like
Georgia
so,
captured a lot of moments.
It was just so fun to watch. I mean, mm-hmm. I feel like the energy of everyone was kind of similar. And granted, some of the scenes, you know, it was like, oh, everybody fly
get out.
Yeah. but at least from this, you know, the scenes that I did get to watch be filmed, it was like it seemed mm-hmm. like a pretty similar energy between on camera and off camera. Like everyone was pals. Everyone was hanging out. Everyone was like comfortable and
yeah.
I guess I'm just curious, like. Do you think you identified with your character in a way that you felt similar to him? Or where's the line between you and your character in D-Lan?
Ooh.
And actors.
I love these
I think, like, there's certain aspects of the character that I relate to 100%. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like, I've never been
cheated
married before. Or, like, cheated on my significant other or anything like that. But I think yearning for something that once was something that I held on to with that character. Mm-hmm. And reconnecting with old friends, I think that was, like, a big theme in the story. And I don't know, I like to look ahead in the future, but I also like to look at my past and kind of reminisce on old times.
Nostalgia.
And yeah, nostalgia. And I think, I don't know, in those ways, I'd say that's how I was, like, relating to the character. But like you said, like, it was such a just fun time. And like, it's not anything where I had to, like, go method and just, like, you know, really, I like, this is my process, you know. It felt very natural. And that's what I loved about it.
I really admire your process when getting into characters and auditioning and acting. What do you have, a specific ABC, the way you do it? Or
I kind of, it's not like a specific, like, step-by-step process every single time. Every audition, every character, every time I get to act, it's always gonna be something a little different. I just try to, like, I don't like take on this as, like, an actor at first. I kind of just try to understand the story as a whole and see if there's anything that doesn't make sense, like, figure out what that is. And then I figure out the whole story, and then I'm like, okay, now that I understand the story, like, where's my little spot in it? Or how do I fit into this? How do I serve the story as a whole? And I kind of just go off instinct. Like, whatever my first instinct is, I always try to trust that.
First thought, best thought.
Yes. And I kind of, like, use that as a starting point, and I don't know, I just try to, like, really put everything on the table and just not, I don't know, box anything out or try to discredit any ideas that could come. Mm-hmm. And the characters that I, like, work on or in the process of working on, like, they always change, and they could change for so many different reasons, whether it's, like, from the script or what the other actors are doing. I'm always just seeking inspiration or something different or something new. And it's like a ongoing thing where you're just, like, doing a character, and then there could be discoveries about the character, like, in the middle of, like, shooting or something, and you're like, oh, I never recognized that before.
I never thought of that.
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you think that's how... Did you experience that all on the set of D-Lan? Like, I'm thinking specifically, there's a scene where you're in the kitchen and you're talking to Bella.
Bella, yes. Bella.
I mean, yeah, and it's, like, so
Paula
emotional.
Goldie.
Yeah, shout out. Amazing. Lovely. Also, beautiful bangs. She has really cool
bangs. Everyone was like, oh my god, her hair.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I just have to take my cowboy boots off. They were cute, but now it's, like, too much.
Now it's too much.
I see.
Break me. Moment for
Break.
Hannah. Oh yeah, just this very tender and emotional kind of scene. Are you an actor that's in those kinds of emotionally loaded moments? Are you drawing on past experiences, or is it all? What's your method for approaching something like that? I'm curious.
Yeah, I think drawing from my own personal experiences is a really strong way to connect myself to the work 100%. Like, there's a few different ways you could approach it, from, like, past experiences, or you could do imagination work where you really, like, break down the character's, like, circumstances and everything he's, like, gone through and everything that he's, like, experienced so far leading up to that moment. And then when you're in the scene, you kind of just like let go of all that. And it'll take you to a place where you're ready to really be present in the moment. And it's also a big factor is your relationship with your other actors in the scene. Mm-hmm. I think like when it comes to like emotional work, I think if you have a good, strong bond with your scene partner or your co-star or whatever, that's gonna help a lot to get to those like emotional scenes for sure.
Like, well, what you were just saying too, like, oh, it's, you know, maybe sometimes you're discovering new things while you're doing the scene, or you're, you know, like, if there's the possibility for things to change or stuff like that. Do you think, sorry, the way I'm articulating this question, I'm just trying to think through it so it makes sense. But do you think it's easier for things to change in a scene, or maybe the way that you're feeling about a scene when you're working from imagination versus working from your own, like connecting your own experiences to something? Because I feel like that process, I'm just trying to imagine what it would feel like to be in that kind of emotional scene. And like, how do you not get lost in the sauce of your own?
I think so. Like, one thing that I was taught very early on in my acting career is that you cannot be like set in one specific way of doing things. You have to be flexible. You have to be malleable for a director. And being good at taking different notes in different directions to help serve the story the best way you can is like a very valuable asset as an actor. And I think if you're stuck in one way of doing something, or if you kind of are not willing to like be flexible and like take notes and take different directions, it's
you gotta do it.
I think that's also why I kind of shied away from having too many like intense rehearsals, because I wanted to leave the space for whatever play we were able to do to come out on the day. Like, I didn't really have a set way in my head that I wanted things to go. I just wanted it to feel natural. And so when it came to hanging out, I was like, let's make that the priority, and the vibes of the, you know, relationship between the characters to be as natural as possible. And then whether it's exactly what's on the page or not, whatever comes out, like, I was happy with.
Can you talk a little bit about your producing?
Producing type beats.
Producing type beats. That was
I make music, guys. I make beats. Yo. Hit me up for my rates.
Yeah. Well, you did, you co-wrote, co-produced, and acted in a feature film.
Yeah. That was such a lovely experience.
Say about it for the people in the back.
You co-wrote, co-produced, and acted in a feature film.
It's not that crazy. But that was a lot of fun. It kind of happened very spur of the moment. I didn't set out to write or produce or any of that. I just wanted to act. I just wanted to be in things. And a friend of mine, Ava Maria Safai, we worked together before on a TV series that she was the director, lead actor, producer. There's so many things. She did so many things on that set. And she basically started this little program, I guess, or squad of artists. Posse, yeah. Called the Incubator Program.
Oh, where, I think I've heard of that.
Yeah. And
wait.
The idea of that program is to grab a bunch of artists, like young aspiring artists who want to take the next step in their like acting journey, and basically they like all come together and write a script. They collaborate on a script, and then each of them writes their own character into the story, and then they see how what it takes to actually get that film or that show or whatever made. And I was like, oh, this is a really cool, like, idea. Yeah. And if they ever do it again, I would love to be a part of it. Yeah. And she was just like, yeah, I think we're starting it up again. So if you're interested, I don't know. It's just, it was really good timing, too, because by the time I joined that group and joined that writer's group and we started writing this feature, the actor strike happened and the writer strike happened.
Crazy.
So there was like no work anyways. So it's like, this is the perfect time to be writing a script.
To dive in.
Yeah. And going in, I had like little to no experience writing. And I guess my only experience is interpreting other writers' work when it comes to acting.
Well, you're acquainted with scripts.
Yeah. It wasn't like I was going in blindly or anything, but it was such an eye-opening experience, like starting from scratch and working with, it was like 6 or 7 of us that was on the writing team. We all wrote our own characters, and then we collaborated on a few others.
That kind of sounds like what Naked Cinema is here at UBC, a little bit. It's like a course that you can do. I took it in my first year for whatever reason. I don't know who let me do that, but it's typically for fourth year students. And it is kind of a similar thing where the actors, acting cohort and film production kind of collaborate, and the film production students take on a director's role, but the actors all write their own characters into the story.
That's what's
up. Depending on the year, it's either like a bunch of short films or one long feature film with, you know, interwoven storylines. But what do you think the biggest challenge was writing with 6 other people?
The biggest challenge I'd say is when we first started, we all had so many different ideas of what the movie could have been. The only thing that we set out to do was like, let's make a wedding rom-com movie. And we were like, oh, we could do like some like Hallmark stuff, or we could do some like we could really dig into the comedy or anything. And there were so many different just ideas being thrown to the table. And I think the biggest obstacle was just like pinpointing like the story we want to make, and then taking 6 or 7 writers and blending it all into one and becoming like one voice.
Yeah.
Because like at the beginning, it felt like we were writing 6 or 7 different movies.
Yeah, that's how I would imagine.
Yeah.
To go, yeah.
Was it a matter of trying to advocate for your own personal taste, or was it also you hearing other people's ideas and being like, that's good, we should.
I think I tried to chime in as much as I could. Mm-hmm. And honestly, at the end of the day, like the best idea won. Like, and I don't know, like whatever serves the story the best, I think. And yeah, it was kind of a tricky hurdle to get over. But then once we were able to find a groove, like we were able to really, just like fully collaborate and not like we had to kill some darlings. For that script as well.
That is the journey. It's a heartbreaking journey.
For real.
What was the name of that project?
It was called Faking It. Yeah, Faking It.
Shout out.
It's completed. It's ready to go. And I'm not too sure when it will come out, but hopefully it will see the light of day sometime very soon.
We'll plug it whenever it does.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have a question.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
I feel like you are a very familiar face in the indie Vancouver scene. I feel like everyone at Crazy Eights, everyone's like, oh my god, hey, Anthony! What advice would you give to someone who's just coming into, like, wanting to act, want to be in projects in, like, the Vancouver scene? I have friends moving here from Australia in the next few months, and so how did you kind of go about building connections?
Yeah. I just said yes to anything that seemed like a good idea. I don't know, waiting around for this magical role to change the trajectory of your career, it's like, you could do that, but I think you have to be the catalyst of your own career and get the ball moving on your own.
Or write your own part.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So I think a lot of acting is patience, but
hurry up and wait.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. It's, you kind of have to put yourself out there. And for me, it took me a long time to realize that you just have to just do it. You just go just out there
this
and...
This whole episode is a Nike ad. Yeah. We're building to that.
Yes.
Let's do it. Be hungry for it.
Yeah. Be hungry for it. Yeah. And like even when it came to writing that script, like at first I had hesitations. I was like, ooh, this is going to be like a year commitment. I've never written a script before. I don't know if I could do this. But then I was just like, no, this seems like a great idea. Mm. And it was kind of scary, but I learned so much from that. Mm-hmm. And there's so many different like roles that maybe I didn't think I would be right for, or I didn't have the confidence to think that I could pull it off. But I was just like, oh, let's find out. Let's see.
Do you feel like you're always going for the same kind of role, or do you mm-hmm. have you ever portrayed someone that you were like, or have you ever gotten a part that you were like surprised about getting?
Yeah. I tend to play roles that maybe are like high school or like college age range and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And I guess a lot of my work that I've done so far is dramatic work. So when casting girls around for a mentally ill, depressed teenager, I seem to always be the guy going up for that. But I have gone some like wild card auditions before, yeah. stuff that I don't
like
think
the show wild card or just like
just in general. Yeah, yeah, I have auditioned for that show. It's like a CW show.
CW show.
And
sorry, CW.
No,
like,
that's okay.
One audition that came my way that was interesting was I got to play a terrorist.
Oh God.
A terrorist. And I would be working alongside I can't remember the dude's name, but he was in Gladiator, the first Gladiator.
Denzel Washington.
No.
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe, I think.
What?
Yeah. And I was just like, I really...
What was that for?
It was for this movie called The Plane or something like that. But the guy that they ended up casting was like 6'7", 270 pounds. I was like, yeah, I was
and
definitely...
Like, that could have been me.
It could have been. But I was just like, yeah, I don't think I'll ever get the opportunity to play this type of character. Right. So I went full out.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And I don't know. I'm always trying to... explore myself through the craft and try new things. And I don't know, I think that's a part of the growth, yeah. is like getting out and getting out of your comfort zone, mm-hmm. for sure.
I also think just as an actor, living life and like mm-hmm. not, I don't know how to say this without being offensive, but just living your life as you are, the more experience that you can pull from other things that aren't,
yeah,
you know, just a role that you really want to get, like, in your daily life as well. I feel like you're building mm-hmm. your craft.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of growing and changing, if you were... I was trying to make some anticipatory tension, and then I realized the way that sounded. no, we'll just end all of this out. Speaking of pulling from experiences outside of your normal life, okay. if that's even what we were saying, if you existed in the world of Twilight,
that's what I was going to ask.
Do you think you would be a werewolf or a vampire, or would you be a boring human?
Ooh. I have an answer for that. No, you answer it yourself, and I'll answer what I think.
What do you think my answer would be?
No, I know what my answer is for
you. Oh, for me?
Yeah.
Okay, you want to say it at the same time?
Yeah.
Okay, ready?
Three, two, one.
Werewolf.
Okay.
Yeah.
and let's unpack that. Or let's not.
We just both slapped each other with the mic.
Oh, no.
Anyway, I just feel like werewolves are... You can explain.
I could explain?
Yeah.
I think it would just be, like...
Is it just based on vibes?
Based on
just
vibes. I think
also,
so.
Also, skin is not ice cold. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Skin is ice cold.
Edwards.
Well, I mean in real life.
Like, oh. Vampires.
I have poor circulation and my feet are cold sometimes, but, like, not.
Mm-hmm. But, I think the one thing that would attracted me to the other side would be like the baseball
yes,
games.
Yes.
I'd love to play the baseball games.
Yeah, me too.
But I think being a werewolf, being with your, what's like a group of werewolves called?
Your pack.
Yeah. Being with the pack just seems so cool.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. You get to be like one with nature, mm-hmm. and I like
sorry.
Just like the idea of the brotherhood.
Sorry, the idea of the brotherhood.
Yeah.
I have a question here prepared. Would you rather go cliff diving with the wolf pack or baseball playing with the Cullens during a thunderstorm?
Oh, can you guys answer that?
Yeah. Wait. Can we just circle back for a second?
I'm sorry.
Would you be a vampire?
Yeah.
Or
yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god, I didn't even think about this. Actually, I did highlight a BuzzFeed quiz, which Twilight character are you? I couldn't help myself and I took it last night. Do you want to guess what the answer was?
Was it like Alice or something?
You're never going to guess.
Was it a human?
He's human some of the time.
Okay, so it was... Was it Laurent?
Who is that?
Guys.
Awkward, I've only read the first with book.
Laurent, it's the guy with dreads.
Oh, yeah, the vampire, yeah.
I was just saying I don't trust a white man with cornrows. No, it gave me Jacob. And I was like...
Jacob.
I don't see that for you.
I was like, I don't see that for me either. No, but I was just like, I don't think...
Who would I be?
Like that. You would be sorry, I think Jacob. You're Bella. I truly think you're Bella.
That's so offensive. No offense, I love... Well, Bella, she makes all the wrong decisions.
She's blinded by love, I think. 100%.
Yeah.
Every decision that she makes is because of love, I think.
Yeah.
So maybe...
Yearning, desperation, I don't know.
Reading the book, I was like, Bella is way too into Edward. I was it's been 5 seconds. I know. Well, she's like way too into him.
She's wailing for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And she's like constantly tripping over things.
Bella, let's
She's very klutzy, which I don't think you're klutzy, but I just think...
I'm klutzy.
Well, mm-hmm. can I say something? It's going to sound cringy, but I think you just have the main character energy. I think you just feel like a protagonist, and I think that's how it is.
Thank you. I'll take it.
I agree. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Thank you. What other questions do you have there?
No, I have lots of them. Well, honestly, I kind of wanted us to go through this quiz, and we can, like, speed through this in the episode.
Okay, sure.
In the edit, but I kind of wanted us all to take this BuzzFeed quiz.
Okay.
If you guys want to.
I'm down, yeah.
At the same time? Is that possible? Well, you already took yours.
I already took it.
Can I also just say, so many people from Australia have responded to my stories and said that you look like Seth from Twilight.
I guess, like, he's Seth one of the younger werewolves. Like,
and it's
I suppose.
A compliment when they do say that.
Yeah.
It's a compliment. They don't say his name specifically. They say the cute werewolf.
Yeah. I should have, now that we're recording this, I'm like, I should have gone back and watched some
No, because of the movies, I, because surprise, I'm doing a pop quiz for you guys later.
Oh, okay.
Later, like in the episode, like right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I'm
down. Will you just read the questions loud? You don't have to read all the answers, but.
Oh, God.
Let's involve you. I know. It's a BuzzFeed quiz.
What is your stance on love? Love. Like, I don't know. Plenty of room for more. Kind of a loner. I would kill for love. I think I've been in love. Secretly, I love it. I have lots of crushes. For sure. No, I'm kidding. I get super attached. I love love.
Love.
And obviously we know this is scientifically accurate because it's BuzzFeed.
It's BuzzFeed, so. Yeah.
What about blood?
Jessica.
Jessica.
Who is Jessica? She's Anna Kendrick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the movie.
She's the one that's like at their wedding, like you know?
Oh yeah.
She's the one at their wedding making like snide comments about how mm-hmm. she wanted Edward.
Is Jessica
first.
The one that liked Mike?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I remember that being a big it was like
and
Jessica.
And Edward
likes
was
Mike.
Like all about Bella or whatever.
Anyway. Pick me energy.
Jill, when you
a
edit
little bit.
This,
yeah.
Can you put a little...
I'm editing this. Oh, you mean for
the reel? Yeah. Put a little something in that you mm-hmm. just said that all about.
Underwater. Yeah. What would you say? What's your opinion on vampires? That's horrible. What a horrible answer. I don't want to be Jessica. That's so embarrassing.
Well, I got Jacob, so clearly...
Jacob
science,
is one of
the... science might be off on this
I'd say, like, powerful.
Yeah.
They live, like, a long time, don't they?
You're Alice Cullen!
I'm Alice.
That's actually the coolest character. Alice is the best.
Yeah, because she like reads minds. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
No, she doesn't. She sees the future.
Oh, sees the future. Yeah. Yeah. And very intelligent.
She decorates the Cullens' house for Bella's birthday.
And their wedding.
No, she's like one of the more normal ones.
She's nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, really, that was a really good use of time.
Really. Great. Can I pop quiz you guys?
Please.
Oh, no.
What do you win each round, I'm thinking?
What do I win?
Just my love and affection. Good enough?
And then the other person just gets an...
Is it a fight to the death?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you have to... What's your buzzer noise?
Boop.
Okay. Okay. Whoever gets the most points gets...
Wait, so is this a matter of being correct or being fast?
Both.
Okay. Oof.
If you get it wrong, first try, it goes to the next person.
Okay.
Okay, first question.
Wait, are these based on the movies or the books?
First question. This is an easy one. But let me finish the question.
Oh my god, the suspense!
I like the way I'm like,
ah. I'm ready to go.
Is that the ready?
I forget what my
boop, boop.
Okay. First question, easy one. Starting off smooth. What does Bella name her daughter?
Boop. Renesmee.
Correct. You named my daughter after the Loch Ness
like this monster.
Bonus questions if you can say what she was going to name her daughter.
Oh, boop.
And Anthony again.
EJ. Edward Jacob.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Thank God she didn't do that.
I mean, it's not like Renesmee was that much better.
No, Renesmee is a blend of what is
Renee and Esme?
Renee and Esme or something.
Correct.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Her mom Esme. And Edward's mom, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Next question.
What year did Edward die? 1908.
That wasn't a question.
He was supposed to.
You're speaking out of turn.
I'm passionate about Edward's death.
Edward's
what was Edward's one condition for them to do the hanky panky?
I haven't gotten that far in the book yet.
Yeah.
That she becomes a vampire?
Incorrect.
Oh.
The hanky panky. I don't know. I feel like he's all about her protection. He wants her to be safe.
Think about the era that he's from.
Well, I don't know what birth was like then.
Oh, I got you. Go ahead.
I don't know.
To get married.
Yeah!
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but isn't this because Stephenie Meyer is Mormon?
Yeah.
Yes.
She was like, yeah.
Very...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you haven't gotten this. You've seen the movies, though, have you not?
Yeah, it's just been a sec. Okay. No, but I'll get there. I'll get into it.
Question 3. What is the first thing Jacob says to Bella in New Moon?
Boop.
Yeah.
Bella, where the hell have you been, Loca?
Yes. I'm losing right now. This is so upsetting.
Back when he had the long hair, too.
Yeah, look. Hello.
Well, if
that's when he's, like, hot. I like when he had the long hair. And
he was
like...
hot.
Yeah. You know what threw me off in the book? When they first meet at the beach in La Push, she's like... Wow, he was so small, and he was younger than everyone else. And then by the end of the book, they see each other again at the prom.
Yeah.
And she's like, and he was a full head taller than me. He must have grown. And I was like,
yeah, he's a werewolf. He grows really fast. He's maturing. Question 4.
Wait, but that has to do with like how tall he grows on a regular basis anyway?
I think it's just...
He's
kind
going
of
through his werewolf puberty.
Yeah, he grew up a little bit.
He grew up.
Cause like before he's just like, oh, this is like my like my brother, my little brother we used to play when we were little kids. And then he's just like, oh, yeah, now I see you.
Damn. Think.
Yeah.
Anyway. Question 4. How long did Edward and Bella know each other before getting married? Yeah.
I don't know. I just wanted to make my buzzer sound.
Do you have a guess?
A year? 2 years, 3 years, 1 year, 1 year.
That was three guesses.
It was about 11 months. Yeah, they were married. She was pregnant.
Just give me that.
11 months?
They were engaged after like 7 months or something.
Waste no time.
Where was Charlie during all of this? He was watching the Mariners game. He was at work.
What kind of crime was there in Forks besides the vampires? Like, was he really?
What was he so busy doing?
Was he working on cases? Like, what was he doing?
Question five: who are the Volturi?
Oh. Yeah, go.
They're the Italian family of vampires that are super ancient, and are powerful. And Carlisle used to mix with them, and then when Bella goes and mingles. Yeah. Because when Bella goes into the Cullen's house, and then she sees, there's a scene where they're, like, looking at all these paintings with Carlisle's history, and then it's, like, Carlisle's in there, and he looks like an angel, but then it's, like, all these twisted...
The book?
Yeah, then there's all these, like...
I haven't read that.
There's, like, all of these Italian people in this one part of the painting, and Bella's like, who dat? And Edward's like...
What's their role in the vampire society? You got the point.
Are they the government?
Yeah, the government body. They say what goes.
I think the gist was like you don't mess with them because Edward was like talking about how he was maybe gonna unalive himself, and he was like, it's really hard for a vampire. So Bella was like, what were you gonna do? And he was like, I was gonna go to Italy and provoke the Volturi.
Correct.
Yep.
Thank you.
Correct. Question 6 out of 10.
Okay, I'm losing.
You are. Wait, you have 1 point, and you have 4.
Oh, what? Okay.
Oh, no, you have 2 points, sorry.
Yeah, I was like, what?
You have the friends we make along the way.
Yeah.
It's the journey. Really, it's the climb.
Hold on. Who is tracking them in the first movie?
Them?
Who is tracking Bella?
Oh.
Specifically.
The tracker?
Yeah, and who is the tracker?
What's his name? I can't remember the dude's name. It's
something boring. He has a boring face.
Generic white guy who dies.
Yeah.
I don't know. He looks kind of weird. Like, I never really like.
He's the one in the dance studio.
Yeah, dance studio.
And what's his name?
I don't know. No one cares.
Okay, no one gets that.
Irrelevant.
James.
James.
Question 7. Are you reading my questions over my shoulder?
No. Oh, well, I could see the text, but then I was worried there were going to be answers. Right. Check the tape.
There's no answers. I just surfed from my brain. What song is playing when the Cullens take Bella to play baseball?
Oh, what's the name? I know how it goes, but
sing it.
But what's it called?
It's, he knows this.
He's
been taught well.
Trained him well.
I can't, for the life of me, I can't tell you the name of the song or the artist, but I know how it goes.
You know the vibe.
I know the vibe. What is it?
Supermassive Black Hole.
Ah, yeah, okay.
Can I say my piece of trivia for that scene? I used to live right near that waterfall that's in the background.
And I'm so jealous.
Because it was shot.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, it was shot in Oregon. Multnomah Falls.
Oh my God, did you play baseball there?
Yes.
Did you ever basket in?
And then all of my vampire friends protected me when some boring white guy named James tried to kill me and came after me.
Question. You tracked your scent? Oh, yeah. No. Oh, I hate when that happens. God dang it. Not again.
Why did Edward get turned into a vampire?
Me. He was dying of Spanish influenza.
Period.
Or something.
So
he
was
I didn't even know that.
Do you know how many points each person has?
Who cares?
Okay.
You'll track it in the edit, yeah.
Ethan's like, this is not my job description.
Are you a fan, or, like...
I've seen them all.
You've seen them? Yeah.
I haven't read them. But
very film critique.
Spanish influenza?
Yeah.
Spanish flu. Yeah. And then, he was supposed to die. And he was all alone in a hospital, because his parents were already dead. And then Carlisle was like...
I do remember this now. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. In Breaking Dawn Part 1...
Hmm...
What is Jacob's excuse for having to get into Bella's sleeping bag?
Boop. Survival 101.
Period.
To warm her up.
Yeah.
Because she was freezing to death. She was suffering from hypothermia. Mm-hmm. So they figured his body. His body would warm her.
Wait, was he in the wolf version or was he?
No, he was human.
And then he was like,
"Yeah,
if we're naked, you'd be warm faster."
Naked?
Yeah, yeah. If we didn't have any clothes
was
on.
She a married woman?
No, but Edward was in
Edward
the
was tent, in
the tent the whole time while she was cuddled up with Jacob.
And that's on having ice cold skin.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Question 10. Oh, sorry, okay. There's actually 11 questions. Okay. Question 10.
Mm-hmm. Question 10 twice.
Where, and there's a few different answers to this. Where was Twilight shot?
Oregon, Squamish, Washington,
and
there's another part.
I mean,
the lower mainland.
Generally,
Vancouver.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah.
Vancouver.
The Collins house is in West Van.
Is it really? I mean, I guess suppose that
so. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, final question. This is more up to opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the zaddy of the series?
Boop. I know your answer, but it's Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, all of them are super immature. or Carlisle.
Can I get a definition of zaddy?
Zaddy?
Can I get the country of origin?
Zaddy is giving, like, Pascal vibes.
I think it's definitely Pedro. Carlisle. Okay. Carlisle's pretty.
Yeah.
Carlisle is very pretty. I would. Yeah. My zaddy. I'd say
go on.
I would say Charlie.
If I was like, if I needed someone to help me fix my car, or if I needed someone to grill something,
it would be Carlisle.
I'd be like, Charlie, help me out.
Oh. Yeah.
If I was like, I need you to
carry me by your pinky.
If I'm getting tracked by multiple vampires.
If I need stitches.
Uh huh.
If I
need 10 liters of blood.
If I was a man going to buy a suit for the first time, I'd be like, I trust Carlisle's fashion sense and judgment in that sense. Charlie doesn't know what's going on. Charlie doesn't know what kind of suit to wear. So if we're saying zaddy?
Okay.
Implied context of some kind of class or and or Riz? I'm going to say Carlisle.
Aura?
Or, he's got the most aura.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I would say that's a tie. Lost track. But you guys both did.
I have one question.
Yeah.
Well, what team are you guys? Team Jacob or Team Edward?
The eternal question.
What do you think I am?
You're Team Edward, 100%.
Why?
Because Jacob gives you the ick.
No.
Even after you've previously agreed that.
No.
You're Jacob.
You're Jacob. There's
some
inconsistencies here.
No, Edward. I'm just Team Edward because 11-year-old Hannah, that was, like, her first, like,
crush.
Heartbreak.
Yeah.
No, it was, like...
You were actually,
no,
like,
was,
Bella when...
I was unwell after watching Twilight for the first time. I literally, like, it just hurt in my
screaming
chest.
Screaming in agony.
Yeah, because I was like, this is not a real person and I'll never be able to be with him. At 10 years old, that broke my heart. But, you know what?
Is that why you became an actor? So you could potentially work alongside Robert Pattinson one day? No comment.
That wasn't a no.
You can manifest it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mickey 18, starring Hannah Huggins. I did like him in Mickey 17 though.
Yeah, he was interesting. Yeah.
Sorry, it's really hot in here.
Yeah. Another one.
Another one.
Another one.
What's this one?
This one is from the City of Forks.
Oh, nice.
Is
New
this,
moon.
Like, depressed?
Yeah, what is this supposed
I think
to represent?
It's like the werewolves
something.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
This has been what team am I?
Yeah, what team?
You know, from reading the book and watching the movie, I feel like it doesn't even feel like a love triangle to me. It just seems like Edward is super obsessed with Bella and Bella is like, "Wow, someone's obsessed with me." And then Jacob is like kind of in the background. I need to get further into the other books and like go back and watch the other movies. But I'm like, at least in the first book, it doesn't feel like a triangle. It feels like
it's
a line
not.
And a dot.
That's so embarrassing for Edward. True. But, I mean, Jacob, but you're right.
I think like because Jacob or Edward had to leave Forks because they were like causing too much attention
and
or
what
something.
What does he say after she says, "I want to come with you"?
You can't? I don't know. What's the actual quote? I don't know.
No, I shouldn't say it.
No, please. Honey,
I would have to cut it out.
Say it.
Just say
I don't want you to come.
I don't have the strength to stay away from you anymore.
I don't want you to come. Yeah.
Anyway.
You had to break it off clean.
Team Edward.
I'm team, like...
Are you going to say Team Charlie?
No.
I feel like that's the pacifist response.
Don't put words in his mouth. I want to hear...
No, please.
Team Bella, you know? Just, like, you don't need anybody. You don't need no man, you know?
Okay.
Like, these really are your best picks? Like... Right. These two guys? I don't know. So but if I had to pick one of them, it would be...
Both of them are, like, weird.
Both of them are weird. Jacob is kind of weird.
Jacob is,
it's
like...
kind of weird.
Himself
Jacob is... Because he's, like... He plays this weird role where he's, like, the best friend, but he's also trying to, like, get in her pants. And yeah. It's kind of... I don't like that. It's very weird. And, like, I feel like Bella just has to, like, tolerate him because he's there. I think that's, like, kind of, like, the weird dynamic. Because, like... She'll like kiss Jacob.
No,
and then
Jacob
like
Jacob will kiss her.
Jacob will kiss her, and then yes. And then Edward's just like like what? What do you mean? Like what is this?
So true.
I just don't like.
No, don't leave. Kiss me.
So maybe it's yeah. More triangular.
Triangular.
Well,
yeah.
When they're all in the tent together, it's definitely some
is it
sort
just
of
the
tri-
three of them.
It's
in
just
there?
The three of them.
Ooh. Yeah.
And Edward's sitting there in the corner, like, can you really try to keep your thoughts to yourself? And Jacob's there, like, in the sleeping bag with Bella, being like, sorry, I can't help it. Anyway.
How did that one not get cut? Out of all the scenes they could have cut.
Like, what would compel you as a writer to be like, I'm going to put them on the tent together?
Well, I think the objective was just,
like
we need to see some physical, like, connection here.
Yeah.
Let's just write some dialogue, like, who cares?
Which everyone is in close proximity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, anyway, this has been fun.
This has been a beautiful
episode. I love talking about Twilight. I have one last thing to say. I was in a meeting yesterday about potentially co-producing like another short, and they asked me what my favorite movie was. And I had time to think about it. They're like, just a warning, we're going to ask you this at the end. And I was like, okay. And I just had to be honest with them. I had to say, like, I have to be real. It's Twilight. I'll give you another one. I love Hereditary as well, but like...
Mm. Hereditary is good. It's a hard watch.
No, Challengers, that's a good one.
Yeah. I don't disagree.
Like, oh, how did we pivot from Twilight to Hereditary and then to Challengers? And I was like, wait.
That's all I had to say.
Truly so many thoughts. Oh, well, actually, here's a closing question. If you're going to have a picnic in Forks, where would you go?
Oh.
La Push.
There you go.
I've been to La Push.
Flex.
What is La Push?
It's just like a beach, right?
La Push Beach is La Push. Oh, but they filmed it. They didn't film it at La Push. They filmed it like somewhere else in Washington. But I went to La Push Beach.
I want a picnic in that meadow.
That meadow? I agree. 100%. Yeah.
It's
very like dreamlike. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could sparkle.
preferably with someone that's a sparkly vampire.
Mm-hmm.
Like add that. That's my picnic essential.
A sparkly vampire.
Yeah. Because a werewolf, they're going to get hair all over your blanket. Mm-hmm. Shared up with their claws. You know, they probably shed.
Shed a little bit, God. Yeah.
Yeah. But with...
Do you know what, actually,
vampire,
though?
They're just
you
cold.
Would think that werewolves would be hairy. Why were they all not?
You mean like their human form?
Yeah.
Because I think it's a modern sexy adaptation.
They just shave constantly every single day. They just shave.
Like multiple times a day.
Multiple times.
Their 5 o'clock shadow is like...
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Get it?
No, that was funny.
Thank you. Thanks for being here with us,
Thanks,
Anthony.
So much, Anthony.
We love you. We
this
appreciate you. It's
Thank
an honor
you.
To have you here and to talk about Twilight.
I love
and
y'all too.
And talk about your acting craft.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
No, it was fun. It was a good time.
Yeah.
Listeners, you can find us on CITR 101.9 FM's website. You can also find us on Spotify. We are at FLM Picnic on Instagram.
And YouTube. Yes.
And TikTok.
Yeah, we're trying to be better at that.
Yeah. We'll catch us next week, next time. When we're continue to debunk the film industry with meaningful conversation. Yeah.
One picnic at a time.
And you're listening to Unseated Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM. Do 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 do.
We have been called. Indians.
Justified in opening fire that day. Amy Allen has more.
The virus took on many shapes. The bear, the elk, the antelope.
Hosted by the Indigenous Collective of CITR 101.9 FM, Unceded Airwaves unveils the hidden pages of Indigenous history and contemporary existence. We are back and looking for passionate folks to contribute to the process of putting together our weekly radio show. Our community centers Indigenous joy, excellence, and current issues. Friends and allies are welcome. No experience is necessary. Come learn with us. Our Instagram is Unceded Airwaves, and that's the best way to keep up with us. If you're interested in getting involved or you have any questions, email me, indigenouscollective@citr.ca.
Are you someone in recovery? Someone struggling with addiction or disordered eating? Or are you simply curious to explore your relationship to alcohol, drugs, and other types of addictive behaviors? The UBC Student Recovery Community is a safe space to connect with others. The SRC provides many types of support, such as drop-in hours, recovery meetings, one-on-one support, and even has a dedicated recovery lounge. The SRC supports all pathways of recovery, from harm reduction to abstinence and everything in between. You can learn more at recovery_UBC on Instagram. And you can also contact the community at src.recovery@ubc.ca. Remember, you're not alone.
Are you looking to decolonize your self-care routine? Take a trip down to Sisters Sage for a variety of handmade soaps, bath fizzies, smudge sprays, and salves infused with traditional plant medicines. Sisters Sage is an award-winning local Indigenous business run by Tsimshian and entrepreneur, activist, and community builder Lynn Marie Angus and her dog TJ. Passionate about crafting wellness products that are respectful of the land we live on, Sisters Sage is committed to a heart-centered approach to self-care as well as our collective healing. Located on 1312 Kingsway, you can drop by from Monday to Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. See you there.
We are UBC Electronica and we love electronic music sessions.
Run for them life when I step into the jungle.
We offer DJ workshops, open decks, pop-up parties, and more. Follow our socials such as Instagram, Discord, or join us through email, ubcelectronica@gmail.com.